welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee kurup, guten tag, ja wee viva katbang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace how, go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison, killitary industrial core poor nation. In the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, NRA, USA, home of Uncle Sam, Manila, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And the people marching in the climate march didn't even realize that what they're eating is, the, you know, that there they are against Wall Street, you know, against capitalism. And they are eating the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death. Well, I'm back in California after my visit to my original homeland, the city of Nueva York. I forgot how much I love New York. Yes, I love the energy on the streets and all the interaction with some of the friendliest people in the world. I know they don't come off that way, but they are. I mean, who needs artificial social cyber media when the streets are like a social network? I didn't really turn on the computer in the time I was there. Facebook, I'm sure, is still there. The NSA is still checking my, you know, all my messages. Daisy, the rescued chihuahua, love of my life, accompanied me, serving her purpose, of course, as babe magnet. Of course, she doesn't have to serve a purpose. She has no job. She just needs to be she. I mean, I served my purpose of spoiling her every minute of the day that I could. Everywhere we went, people loved her on the subway, on the steps of City Hall for the demonstration to stop the killing at New York City's shelters. And it was great being with all those people out there. Kate Riviello and just a lot of great people who seem to be vegan, too. So, you know, well, everybody loved Daisy. I had to take her out of her little carrying case on the subway so people could adore her, because she is the definition of adorable. So, adore we must. And it was, oh, look, Daisy, we're in the 14th Street subway station, which was my stop for Stuyvesant High School when I was a student there. And look, Daisy, that's the Empire State Building where my mother worked on the 86th floor. Look, Daisy, right next to the World Trade Center is the Church Street Post Office where my father worked when I was a little child. And the Dominican cab driver from JFK was like my best friend when he heard that I was from Washington Heights. He just thought it was the greatest thing, you know, that I didn't eat meat. Believe it or not, yeah, the greatest thing. He said, wow, you don't eat meat, that's so great. Not even dairy, not even eggs, that's amazing, that's just so great. So, and he said that was probably what made me look so young, you know, and I'm thinking, New York cab drivers, yes, perfecting the art of maximizing tips, even from people with no money. And so he could have all my money then for that. And so the Jamaican cab driver on the way back to JFK, a little different, you know. I mean, he first starts off, I guess by racial profiling me, you know, not really expecting me to be someone to be picked up on 204th Street in Jamaica, Queens, heading to the Parsons Boulevard subway station. Originally, that was my destination. Then seeing if he would just take me and Daisy and our new megaphone that we got in New York over to JFK. So he said, yeah, what were you doing on 204th Street? You know, I said, well, they, you know, a very nice family in the neighborhood generously offered me accommodations during my stay visiting from California, and I wanted to come to New York to bring my megaphone, megaphonically amplify the vegan message at the Climate March. And, you know, vegans are like family, so it was great to stay with a really nice vegan family. And I said to him, oh, do you know what a vegan is, by the way? We don't eat any meat, dairy, fish, or eggs. And the cab driver said to me, are you Christian? God put the animals here on earth for us to eat. So I asked them if they were really put for us to eat, if they were really put here for us to eat, why would he give them feelings? You know, why would they be able to cry out in sadness and scream in pain? And I don't know, that struck a chord with him. He said, oh, why are you telling me this? It seemed to reach him a little bit. And then I said, and if God meant for us to eat animals, why would eating them give everyone heart disease and cancer and stroke and diabetes? And then the cab driver said to me, well, I do have high blood pressure. And then he said, you know, but all black people have blood pressure problems. And I said, well, can I guess what you and your friends are all eating? Seeing that we were on Parsons Boulevard in front of a KFC and a McDonald's, you know. So I said, can I start with fried chicken and hamburgers? Are you eating those? Yep, all the time. He and all his friends, you know. So really, it's that when it comes down to it, the McDonald's there, you know, all the usual suspects and the axes of evil, all of them, you know, McDevils, Murder King, Wendy's, Kills Jr., Subhuman Way, Jack the Ripper in a Box, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Outbreak Steakhouse, Taco Hell, Dead Lobster, Up Chuck E. Cheese, Skin and Snout, that's what a hamburger is all about. Holy cow, so they are the ones just killing people left and right, killing the environment. And most people still are just clueless as to the health and environmental impacts of what they shove down their throats. The message is being intentionally confused, it seems, by everyone. I go to New York, I see some of the great human wonders of the world, and also the plunders, you know, just in visiting New York City. I mean, the most dazzling skyscrapers, and really, you know, when you look at it, the subway system is truly amazing. And then I see still all those hot dog carts, you know, still there. They were there 20 years ago on my last visit home. You know, the little umbrella carts, the hot dog carts. They were there, you know, 20 years ago when I went back for a short-lived radio job, when I provided the city with the best-sounding radio station it ever had. Oh, I was reminded of that when I walked past NYU a few days ago with Daisy, and I remembered the blind NYU student who called me to tell me that I made her life bearable with the music station that I put on the air back then. But, you know, the corporate owner, Tribune Broadcasting, was kind of blind to what was going on, and, you know, trying to do creativity for the corporations sometimes, you know. And then when you have to demand creative control also, good luck. So anyway, really, from my childhood to my visit, you know, two decades ago to now, with all the human wonders, I'm astonished to see, you know, all the little umbrella hot dog stands, all the McDevils, all of those. And you know, suddenly I realize everyone is basically cavemen with iPhones, you know? I mean, access to the internet everywhere they go. Even now, every minute while riding on the subway, access to the internet. And people still haven't figured out what they're supposed to eat. Now, true, in the case of the religious Christian cab driver, it was helpful to point out to him that, you know, the first commandment in the Bible is to be vegan. Somehow in his, you know, the animals were put here for us to eat, he missed Genesis book 1 verse 29, where we're told what to eat, and nothing about animals on the menu there. But I had gone to the Climate March in New York, not to march, but to bring the vegan solution to climate change and environmental destruction to the marchers who may not have heard that you know, basically, a massive worldwide shift to veganism is the only action that we can take before it is too late to save us from climate change. I'm not making that up. The top climate specialists in the world at the World Bank tell us that. Of course, this is a message well hidden, you know, by the major environmental groups. I don't know why, but, you know, for some reason, don't want you to know that animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change, which people heard me saying into the megaphone, that if you eat meat, dairy, fish, or eggs, you're part of the number one problem. But, you know, you can become part of the solution immediately. You don't have to wait for governments and politicians and treaties and all sorts of weird things in the future, you know. Animal agriculture, the number one cause of climate change, responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions caused by humans. But, you know, you don't get it from that meat-addicted environmentalist, Fibbin Bill McKibben, who turns up being the first guest on Democracy Now!'s three-hour coverage of the climate march. 3 hours of coverage, and how much time devoted to the number one cause of climate change? Not one nanosecond. Does anyone at Democracy Now! Have any journalistic curiosity to ask, what's the number one cause of climate change? Anybody think about that? Should we put that on the show one of these days? Maybe we should look into that, huh? What's the number one cause of climate change? And then part B, you know, what could we possibly do about it? You know, if it's animal agriculture, we can stop eating animals and their secretions. Turns out to be the solution. Then Democracy Now! Does another story this week about ending deforestation by 2030. Two guests on the story, very lengthy piece. Ever mentioned, you know, anybody ever ask, you know, what's the number one cause of deforestation? Nope, nobody asked, because the answer, again, animal agriculture, grazing animals who are growing their feed. All pretty crazy. So here we are. We're the ones who have to save the world from climate change, environmental devastation. We have to save the animals. Let's go vegan ready with Bob Linda. Dixie May coming up on the program of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society World Veg Fest coming up. And Gary Francione later in the show. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. I'm back after taking last week off for the climate march in New York City, and I'm just getting my voice back after speaking loudly into the megaphone for about 4 to 4.5 hours straight. It was, you know, just the march just kept on coming, you know, like I said, well, maybe 400,000 people there. Well, I was at Woodstock where there were 400,000 people. This was, you know, like Woodstock, you know, marching by. And so I thought I'd camp out at 59th Street and 6th Avenue where the parade would, you know, approach and then have to make a turn. I figured it'd get clogged up over there and I could just let people know that, you know, the only solution to climate change is a massive 50 to 85% shift of so-called livestock products to vegan by 2020, or it'll be too late. 1,700 cities will be under the threat of submersion. Polar ice will melt. So this is the only practical means. 50 to 85% shift meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumers to happy vegans, happy, healthy vegans who will save the environment. The only solution, because everybody's looking to alternative energy and alternative energy infrastructure, which would take at least 20 years. And if we have till 2020, do the math. And $35 trillion, and only You know, a graduate of Stuyvesant High School knows how many zeros to put. maybe not even a graduate of Stuyvesant High School. $35 trillion. We're not going to have it. We have to go vegan. That will cut down on the carbon emissions, plus free up enough land for reforestation, which is necessary. 45% of land on Earth dedicated to animal agriculture. But, you know, we don't hear, you know, we need people to get this message. And, you know, we thought, you know, we have an ally with Democracy Now, but not one mention that animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change. What does it deem, a story? It has a story highlighting what it deems an environmental hero. A lobster fisherman who uses his boat to block a shipment of coal in New England, risking, getting a fine. Oh, okay, great. You know, so I don't know. What is the environment to environmentalists anyway? Sticks and stones, you know. Certainly, animals in their habitat seem of little significance to the Fibbin McKibbins, who think that there is such a thing as sustainable meat, and, you know, the liberal human supremacist perspectives of a Democracy Now. Even if the only solutions can be found in the shift to going vegan, they aren't going to look there. They're supposedly against oppression, except when it comes to other species. So, I don't know, you know, it's a Democracy Now, Pacifica, they could expand perspectives, you know, perhaps, you know, we could save the world, but they go the way of the meat-eating liberal. Yeah, whatever. And Democracy Now!, the War and Peace Report, right? And Tolstoy said, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. So, anyway, as I said, my observations now. Humans, as I mentioned earlier, we're a nation of cavemen with iPhones. You know, we look at the iPhone screen, and it's suggested that we should eat like cavemen, you know, and we believe that, you know, in the sense that people really are into the paleo diet, right? So I don't know. So I guess we're supposed to eat like cavemen. We'll believe that off of our modern iPhone. And logically, we should probably get some exercise too, like our caveman ancestors, since we were most likely prey, probably had a, you know, sprint a little bit. You know, good to get the body moving and all. Except, now research shows that the paleo diet seems to negate the positive effects of exercise. The International Journal of Exercise Science, in research entitled Unrestricted Paleolithic Diet is Associated with Unfavorable Changes to Blood Lipids in Healthy Subjects. I will just finish up with this after the break. Please join us at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Go to the website, World Vegan Summit and Expo. There's also a Facebook event page. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and we invite you to join us for the World Vegan Summit and Expo, March 20, 21, and 22 of 2015 at the beautiful Marina Del Rey Marriott in Southern California. Go to the website worldvegansummit.com. You can see the activities planned, the amazing speakers, the fantastic vegan menu, much of it veganic, a step above organic. Oh, I just wanted to finish with that study just before the break. I was mentioning, you know, that, I don't know, when people eat decomposing body parts. You know, it seems to me like, you know, maybe they just, you know, club the animal and they're like cavemen, but they're like cavemen with iPhones. Everybody has the earbuds. And I don't know, maybe they think they got the exercise. I don't know where they think they're getting their exercise. Anyway, so it's an unrestricted paleolithic diet is associated with unfavorable changes to blood lipids in healthy subjects. And just finishing up on telling you about this study where 44 healthy adults were placed on the paleo diet. Is that ethical? I mean, isn't that like waterboarding someone? Okay, anyway, so that included so-called lean meat, eggs, fish, nuts, fruits, and vegetables. And after 10 weeks, bad cholesterol and overall cholesterol increased significantly with a slight increase in triglycerides. And the healthiest subgroup had the worst outcomes. So there you have it. It looks like the paleo diet negates the positive effects of exercise. So I guess now everybody on the paleo diet will just decide, like, oh, well, then I won't exercise anymore. No, the idea is you go vegan. That is the idea. It is the idea that has been promoted by my next guest for so many years, living proof of how vital one can remain by being vegan. And this is one of my heroes. You know, not many people can get me to throw an appreciation dinner for him or her. But I did for Dixie May, the longtime president of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. And now we have World Veg Fest coming up again. It'll be not next weekend, but the weekend after that, October 11th and 12th. So welcome again to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. How are you, Dixie May?
Hi, Bob. Thank you for having me on your program again. It's hard to believe this is our 15th. World Veg Festival.
15,
I
know.
Hard to believe?
It is hard to believe. Well, it's hard to believe I'm doing the show for 13 years now. I mean, it's just, you know, your festival was 2 years old when I was starting the show, and wow. we were all so much younger then, it seems.
Yeah. it's hard to believe.
It was like a century ago. It was almost like a century ago. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's getting. It hardly can get better, but I always say it gets better every year.
Good. What makes it better about the one coming up?
Well, you know that you're on, and so all of your listeners who are close by, it's worth for them to come over and just hear you from 10:30 to 12 on Saturday, October 11th.
So Saturday morning, right. I'm always doing that early shift, you know, just to try to see if we can, you know, get people in early. Isn't there an early bird special to get into? So,
yes, from 10 to 10:30, it's free.
Then there's
a $10 charge after 10:30, which is very nominal for everything you can, you know, visit.
Sure,
all of our
of course.
Speakers and demo presenters. Mm-hmm. And then a visit to our vendors. We have about 60 vendors in the gallery. And then, of course, we have a lot of other speakers throughout the day, including medical doctors, people who are involved in animal rights, as well as demos mm-hmm. to teach you how to be a vegan.
Yeah, and this is one of the most fun events of the year. I'm always looking forward to it. I emcee it on an annual basis, and this year So I do my talk at 10:30, which, you know, to entice people in there. You can get in for free. And what else do you have to do once you get in for free at 10:30? But come in and see me. I'm promising one of the most important environmental talks imaginable. You know, why going vegan is the only solution to climate change and environmental destruction. So that will be
very, very timely. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're going to speak on that.
Yes, it's very important.
Well, throughout the day, we have some other very good ones. We have a couple of medical doctors. One is Dr. Mary Clifton Wendt, who is new for us, and she's going to speak on how to lose weight and supercharge your life on Saturday from 4 to 5. And, of course, Dr. Steve Blake is coming from Hawaii. He is a naturopathist. He's a nature doctor, and he's speaking on a nutritional approach to Alzheimer's disease, something that's really cogent these days. I think almost every family has someone in his or her family that's getting Alzheimer's for an aging population. And then he also speaking on Sunday. So that's good. And we have Gene Bauer this year, Facing Our Food. You remember Gene?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
From Farm. And let's see, who else? It's always exciting. We have cooking demos as well as raw demos throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And
So it really is.
Go to our website.
Yeah, it's something not to be mixed. Yeah, so, and the website is?
www.worldvegfestival.com.
Mm-hmm. Worldvegfestival.com. And this is at the County Fair Building at Golden Gate Park. So it's in a wonderful location, Lincoln Way at 9th. And what are the hours again? It's Saturday and Sunday?
Well, the gates open at 10 o'clock, and the event ends at around 6:30. The last event is Dr. Steve Blake is speaking at 5:15 to 6:15, and then the gallery closes. And then we have a raw vegan dinner and a cooked vegan dinner offered at 6:45 to 7:45, and that's $26.
Mm-hmm. That's Saturday night. That's on Saturday night.
Saturday night only this year.
Right. And my good friend Julie Meskel, who is on the board of Go Vegan Radio, will be coming up from Southern California to be at the event and be at my table. Again, I have a table in the exhibitors hall, and I'll have information about the World Vegan Summit coming up next March. And I just think it's just a fantastic event. It's really hard to believe it's the 15th annual. So, So
the amazing thing is the Vegetarian Society is also celebrating I think it's 47th year. It's one of the oldest vegetarian societies that is, you know, still going. There are others that start and then peter out, but we're still hanging in there.
Yeah, at 47 years, and the San Francisco Vegetarian Society is it's a vegan society. You all of your events are vegan. This World Veg Festival is vegan.
We haven't changed it from vegetarian to vegan because we're very much interested in getting new people into coming to our events, and then we always fear that they will not come if they see the word vegan. They get very scared. But if they come, there will be sampling. Oh, all sorts of vegan sampling in the hall. And then all of our demos are vegan. Some are raw and some are cooked. Quite a variety. And you could just be eating all day long if you want to once you get
right
in.
And then those who are vegetarian, I shouldn't scare them, who consider themselves vegetarian, and I certainly, you know, question really anybody who consumes animal products and calling him or herself vegetarian, consuming eggs or dairy. But we'll have a little talk. We'll have a talk about, you know, why, you know, people who go vegetarian really, or, you know, animal product vegetarian, their purpose was really to go vegan. For all the reasons that they said that they're going vegetarian, they really do have to go vegan, because sometimes they say it's for the animals or for their health or for the environment, but really the only true vegetarian is the vegan vegetarian. And in fact, we thought the word vegetarian meant vegan for quite a while. So to some people it did. I had Supreme Master Ching Hai on my show, and she said, well, in my country, vegetarian meant vegan, you know,
The original dictionary meaning was living on pulses. They used that word, funny word, pulses and fruits, primarily for their diet, and so it didn't mention anything about lacto-ovo, but
Right, right. But leave it to the industry. Leave it to, you know, like when industry sees a way of coming in there, like the dairy industry or the egg industry, and then suddenly, you know, you can be a lacto-vegetarian. You know, it's like being a beefo-vegan, you know what I mean? Or vegan before six, you know? Everybody's looking for an excuse not to do what, you know, what you're supposed to do. So, but...
We're still gentle to the people who haven't yet changed. We you know, we don't want them to feel, oh, we can't go, that's a vegan event. We want people to come.
We would prefer the, you know, the bacon eater, you know, the diarrhea fed bacon eater to come. You know, everybody who eats meat, dairy, fish and eggs, please come. I mean, really, at this point, you know, we have to recognize the importance of, you know, these are the family values. You want mom and dad to be around for a while, you know, come out to something like this. Or, you know, you're against climate change, come see what this is about. You know, you really love animals, you care about animals that much. Come to this event. It's Saturday, October 11th and 12th, the World Veg Festival at Golden Gate Park. And,
And will be there. They'll get to meet you in person.
Lucky them.
Yeah. And they can meet me. And you know I will be 81 in December. And you know I'm putting on these events. I have no diseases. I mean, a lot of people hit 80, you know, but they're in their rocking chair.
Right. Well, hang on, Dixie. Hang on. We have a break, and then we'll continue our discussion. We're talking to Dixie May, president of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, Twitter at GoVeganRadio, and Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook. And if you go to GoVeganRadio.com, please support this program with a tax-deductible donation. You can click on Donate there. You'll find many banners. Click on the banners, such as the one for the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and you can register right now for this amazing event coming in March 2015. Let's see, what else would you find there? You'd find a banner for Vegetarian House, one of the world's finest vegan restaurants. It's in San Jose, California, one of my favorites ever, 520 East Santa Clara Street. You can check out the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. Also, wherever you are in the Bay Area, if you have an upcoming event, a business event, social event, a wedding, you should look into Vegetarian House catering it for you, because it will make it that much more special. The food there is so great. Again, the website is vegetarianhouse.us, 100% organic vegan restaurant. We're talking to Dixie May, president of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, a vegan society that is called the Vegetarian Society, coming up on the World Veg Festival, October 11th and 12th at Golden Gate Park, which is a vegan event also. And Dixie May, you are vegan for how long now?
Well, you know, I start to forget after a while. I think I've been a vegetarian. I started about 56 years ago. I would have been one as a child, you know, when I first realized that the animals that we were killing, that I was warned by my parents and doctors and teachers that I would die if I didn't eat meat, you know, that was the only source of protein, which was a shame. Mm-hmm. So I didn't become a vegetarian until I graduated from college and left home, came to San Francisco, and I decided I probably will shorten my life, but I'm probably the only person you know that thought I would not live as long as the rest of the population.
I thought that,
but
you know, when I was making that change, I was getting yelled at by my future ex-mother-in-law saying, you know, you're going to die if you eat like that. And that I also thought, well, you know, if my life is a little shorter, what can I do? I can't participate in the violence. I don't want animals killed or hurt.
Oh, you're a kindred spirit. I thought I was the only one that ever thought that way.
Two of us.
Yeah.
Right.
So I decided, okay, I'll do it anyway because I'll feel better with myself, truer to myself, if I don't eat animals. But I'm still doing dairy and eggs at the time, not knowing anything else.
But we didn't know how harmful they were, too. Did you know how harmful milk and eggs were to the animals? I mean,
And actually, I thought being vegetarian, I wouldn't live as long because that's what the information was given to me by everyone, that you can't live very long.
I thought nobody got hurt. Oh, we just pick up the eggs or we just, you know, take the milk. You know, nobody gets hurt. Now we find out that dairy and eggs are worse. We should have stopped them first. But, you know, what do we know?
Right.
We learn.
Right.
We learn.
Anyway,
and people can learn so much from you, too, from at this upcoming event.
Yeah, but that was like 55 years or 56 years ago, way back when I was only, you know, like 23 or 24. Mm. You know, and I'm 80. I'll be 81 in December, so I've been better off. Actually, you know, I buried two of my sisters. They were younger than I. They died at 65, and one of them was in very poor health. Actually, both of them were in poor health, as well as, you know, dying too soon. Mm-hmm. And my mother died at 65 and was always in bad health. So it was a shame they didn't look at me and think I was an example, but
They never recognize, you know, the prophet, you know, at home. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, and you know, my parents died young too. My father died at 47 of a heart attack. And, you know, and then everybody says, oh, it's in the family, it's in the genes, you know, and it's like, no, it's in the diet, it's in what, you know, what everyone's eating. I mean, your sisters continued to eat the standard American diet, right? Meat, dairy, fish,
that's
and
right.
eggs, right?
Yep. That's right. So, mm-hmm.
And so you're still dancing. You're still dancing.
It's sad that I've outlived them, but, you know, it's not just outliving them, it's living in health.
Living in health.
My age.
Dixie, we have to take another break. We'll continue with Dixie May, president of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. Plan on joining us at October 11th and 12th, Golden Gate Park, for the World Veg Festival. I will be the MC. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Greetings once again. Welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. We're live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. You can click Listen Live at goveganradio.com, where the programs are archived, and you can make a tax-deductible donation to support the program and find out information about the World Vegan Summit and Expo happening March 20, 21, and 22 of 2015 at the beautiful Marina Del Rey Marriott. The exhibitors will have an expo upstairs, a rooftop expo with an amazing view and just amazing speakers, and you won't believe the menu. You can check it out, worldvegansummit.com. You can register right this very moment. We will be enjoying some of the great products from Nature's Flavors and their brand Select, S-E-E-L-E-C-T, as in Select Tea and Select Coffee. We'll be drinking Select Organic Coffee at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. And you should look for products from Nature's Flavors. You can go to naturesflavors.com. but there are great baking products from Select. If you'd like vegan, gluten-free, sugar-free brownies, they've got them. And also Birdie and Bill sodas, products from Nature's Flavors and Select are available at Viva La Vegan Grocery, the largest vegan grocery store in America, in Rancho Cucamonga, also in Santa Monica. And VivaLaVeganGrocery.com is their website. At the World Vegan Summit, we will be welcoming some of the founders of Vegans, the large vegan grocery chain in Europe. They'll be there talking about veganism in Europe and starting a vegan grocery chain. Dixie May is the president of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, and we have its great event, its great annual event, the 15th annual World Veg Festival, coming up October 11th and 12th at Golden Gate Park in San Francisco at the County Fair Building at 9th and Lincoln, and I emcee it as usual. I will give an opening talk Saturday morning at 10:30 on why going vegan is the only solution to climate change and environmental destruction. And so Dixie, you at age 81, vegan for, did we guess how many years?
I think 55 or 56 years.
Vegan for 55 or 56 years.
I started out vegetarian, so okay. As a vegan, 36 years.
36 years vegan. I'm vegan for 30 years myself, so you know you can live at least that long as a vegan, right? So, and,
right.
And I don't have, you know, I don't have those, you know, people think it, well, they think by the time they get to my age or your age, for sure, there's got to be, you know, diabetes or heart disease or something. But none of that for us so far, luckily. None of that for you at age 81. So you're healthy. You're healthy at age 81 and dancing.
Not only that, but I'm still putting on these events, and I also still dance. Yeah, I perform.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So that's terrific. And no pharmaceuticals?
No. No, I don't take any drugs or medication.
Right, right. Oh, so that's great. And really, at age 81, to organize an event where, you know, I'm organizing the World Vegan Summit and Expo, I you know, I don't know how you do it because I don't know how I'm doing it.
Yeah, right. We should have our heads examined, right?
We should have our heads examined. It's probably we have blood flow to our heads where others may not, right? So we have,
there you go.
At least we have blood flow to the brain, which I guess, you know, kind of prevents,
right,
a stroke. Prevents a stroke.
Which reminds me, one of our doctors is speaking, Dr. Steve Blake from Hawaii, an MD, and he's speaking on a nutritional approach to Alzheimer's disease at 5:15 to 6:15 on Saturday. So
great. Okay. And tell us about some of the food that people might find there. Who are some of the food vendors, and you know what sort of food? We're having a great vegan event here, all vegan food, no meat, dairy, fish, or eggs to be found in the County Fair Building, October 11th and 12th. So what's...
Right. Well, we actually will be having sampling from a lot of different vegan products. So so that's something that is worthwhile just in itself, because you can try different things and see how you like them. Sometimes people are hesitant about it. And so we will have that sampling table both days. And then we will have various vendors. I don't have the list in front of me, but...
But always restaurants. There are really good restaurants who are there, I take it, probably.
Right.
You know, and
I believe Enjoy will probably be there. They've been there every year. Mm-hmm. And they're one of our favorite restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great food from Enjoy, and a lot of food sampling there.
And we will
there.
Have a Saturday evening, we will have vegan raw dinner that costs extra, it's $26. And that's being put on by Sherry Soiree, who is a vegan from Living Light Culinary Arts, coming down to do that presentation. Yes. And then Lisa Brooks Williams will be doing the cooked vegan dinner. So you have the option of either one. And that starts at 6:45.
I'll be there. I'll have an appetite by then after talking for 90 minutes at the start of the day and then being
And then
the,
you'll be there
MC.
All day. You have a table so people can come and actually meet you in person. People have been hearing you gab all these years. They can actually meet you face to face.
I'll be there. I'll have the table and for Go okay. Vegan Radio. Yeah, yeah. And so what are some of the other activities throughout the year of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society?
Anyway, I'm glad you asked.
This is the big event.
We do other activities. Yes, we sponsor potlucks usually once a month. You can go to our website that is sfvs.org and see a calendar of events coming up. And one of my favorites is we dine out at Pachamama's. It's a raw vegan restaurant, and I like to encourage people to go there because they're trying to be strictly raw and strictly vegan, actually. They do have some cooked vegan. They're still serving salmon, but they want to eliminate that if they don't lose too many customers and go broke. So we need people to support our
You're saying that this restaurant is interested in becoming vegan and would like to eliminate salmon from the menu if enough people start coming and then they really? Well, I think that's a good reason to want to support them. Yeah.
It's Pachamama's and it's in North Beach on Union Street. Powell Street near Union. Mm-hmm. And they have music that's incredible. They'll be performing at our World Veg Festival, too. They're Bolivian, and they have musical instruments that are exotic and wonderful to listen to. So if you stay, if you come at 8 o'clock, there's an extra $10 cover charge. But it's worthwhile to hear them play and have entertainment while you eat or come before that time and just pay the usual amount. For the dinners. And so if they get enough people, they're going to go strictly vegan. So
that's a good cause to get a really good restaurant, really, to eliminate salmon.
Absolutely.
We can encourage that. So, okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so they will be there performing probably late Saturday afternoon.
Great, okay. And were you telling us about other events and
events. Yes, if you go to our sfvs.org, www.sfvs.org, you can see the calendar of events for other things. Like we'll have a vegan Thanksgiving, probably two or three different things, potlucks, and then the dining out at the Millennium at a special price. And we also do sometimes I haven't completely completed that menu. I've been busy with the World Veg Festival, but I know we'll do quite a few interesting things and then ongoing potlucks once a month. And then probably a holiday event, too. So.
Terrific. Okay. You certainly stay busy when you're not putting on festivals. You're busy putting on other events all the time, which is great.
All the time. And they're Bay Area. Sometimes we're in Alameda, and sometimes we do have one of our cooking demos up in San Rafael.
Mm-hmm. And this is 47 years, 47 continuous years of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. And you've been president how many of those 47?
Well, I did not start the society. Fred Baldus did. He was a wonderful person. I always like to talk about him because he was from Germany, and he was a vegetarian, and he fled to England when the Nazis came in, and then when the Second World War broke out, they made him go back to Germany, which he, he hated to do, and when the war was over, he came to the United States, and came to San Francisco and started the Vegetarian Society, and he feels that, I remember him telling me that that's one of the things he wanted to do because when he was in Germany, they forced him to be in the German Reich. He had a desk job, but his only alternative was to, you know, go to the gas chambers or do that. And that's a good dilemma for everyone to think about sometime. What would you do if you were faced with those two options? So he decided to live, and unfortunately he had to be a part of the Nazi regime.
But then what was it about that made him want to start a vegetarian society or, you know, vegan or vegetarian society?
Well, he wanted to make amends for having been, you know, had forced to be a part of Hitler's regime by being in the... He was one of the desk jobs.
So that was more of a commitment to saving life then. He wanted to save life.
Yes, yes. Okay. He wanted to make up for what he had done, because his other alternative would have been to stick to what he believed in, which was a pacifistic vegetarian diet.
All right.
And,
Dixie, hang on one more break. We have, and then we'll have another couple of minutes to talk. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. Hey, register now at worldvegansummit.com.
I'm Jan Smitovich, and I'd love for you to check out my debut novel, Orange Rain, a darkly humorous revenge on Monsanto story. Former animal liberation prisoner Peter Young writes, "The eco-warriors next door embark on a lightning round of vigilante justice, literature that incites. And Camille Marino, founder of Negotiation is Over and 11th Hour for Animals, calls it a compelling, fast-paced adventure through some of society's most intriguing subcultures, filled with incisive political commentary. Orange Rain is printed on recycled paper and available now from vegan-owned Treball Press. That's TREBOL Press.com, or find it on Amazon. Orange Rain by Jan Smitovich, Smitowicz. Please support your vegan social justice authors.
Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and you want to be like Dixie May, right? 81 years old and dancing and happy. She's been vegan for about 36 years, president of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. You can eat like Dixie May, and there's no excuse. Wherever you are in the USA, anywhere in the San Francisco Bay Area, you can have delicious vegan food delivered right to your door by Greenlight Meals, making it easy to have delicious, nutritious cuisine. All you have to do is answer the door, home or office. You can go to greenlightmeals.com, GreenLite meals.com. You can stop by and say hello to the folks from Greenlight Meals at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. They will be there with an exhibitor table, and you can register now at worldvegansummit.com. And go to greenlightmeals.com. Check out the choices: breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, smoothies, desserts. You have opportunities for consultation, weight loss consultation, nutritional consultation with Melissa Bray. So get on it. It's greenlightmeals.com, greenlightmeals.com. And Dixie, we have maybe another minute or two left, and you were telling us with the... Oh, and I want to remind people that you can stop by, say hi to Dixie, say hi to me too, at the World Veg Festival coming up October 11th and 12th at the County Fair Building, San Francisco, Golden Gate Park, 9th and Lincoln, and... I'll do my talk 10:30 Saturday morning, Why Going Vegan is the Only Solution to Climate Change and Environmental Destruction. And Dixie will be dancing around as president of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, making sure that this wonderful vegan event goes smoothly. And so, as you were mentioning, so the society's been together for 47 continuous years. You weren't the founder, but actually somebody who was forced to work for the Nazis from Germany came over and kind of to repent, wanted to do something for life, and decided that that was to start, you know, a vegetarian society.
Yes, we're one of the oldest in the country. I think there are three others that may be as old as we are. But
47
I joined
years,
one year after it started, and I heard about it. I was so excited to think that there was other people that were vegetarians at that time. And this is, 1969. So, and then I became vice president. There were only 30 people. I became vice president in 1970. And then became president in 1975. And
you've been president pretty much ever since 1975?
Well, there was a four-year period where I retired, and then nobody wanted to be president, so I came back as president again in the year 2000. So.
Wow. So it's not, you're really not president. You're a dictator. Let's face it, right, Dixie? So. Who serves that long?
No, actually, we're gonna have a new president coming this. I have another wonderful young person who's upcoming to take my place. I mean, I could go for years, but I do like the idea that we will have another president. I'm going to serve as vice president, though, to make sure things keep going along.
Ah, okay. Well, that'll be wonderful. You're staying with it, and I mean, it's what a wonderful long-term hero you've been. I mean, I can't think of anybody who's done more for San Francisco than you have, Dixie, in terms of educating people and helping improve human health and knowledge about
and the
environment and the animals, of course, the animals.
Mm-hmm. And that really was always my motivation.
Right, and that's my motivation too. So,
you know what? The amazing thing is it turned out to be a healthy one.
Right, exactly.
I was thinking of that, and it turned out that that it was good for the environment, and I didn't even know about the environment way back, 50 years ago.
Who would have thought? Right. And for me, it was going to be a quiet little personal decision. I'd sit in the corner, eat a salad, and not really talk about anything. And, look, here now, it's the key to everything. So thanks for being with us again, Dixie May. We'll see you October 11th and 12th at the World Veg Festival at Golden Gate Park.
And we hope to see a lot of your audience.
Terrific. Thanks, Dixie. SFES.org. SFES.org. And we'll see you there. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Hey, donate. Help us. Click donate at goveganradio.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, and Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook. It is time now for Animal Rights Commentary with Professor Gary Francione. And he is a distinguished professor of law and philosophy at Rutgers University, the first academic to teach animal rights theory at an American law school. His website, abolitionistapproach.com, and the latest book with Anna Charlton, Eat Like You Care. Haven't spoken to you in a couple of weeks, Professor Francione. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Bob. I take you were at the climate rally last week, right?
I certainly was. I wasn't marching. I was on the side of the march on the sidewalk as people went by. I told them, the only way that you can end climate change is to go vegan, and I was talking about all the reasons, with all the ammunition, actually, from World Bank climate scientists who tell us that if we don't have a 50 to 85% shift from so-called livestock products to vegan products by 2020, it will be too late. Polar ice will melt, and 1,700 U.S. cities are under the threat of submersion. And there's no other solution but going vegan, because an alternative energy infrastructure will take 20 years and at least $35 trillion. So I was asking people to, if they're part of the problem, which is consuming meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, if they'd like to be part of the solution, they could do so immediately and not have to wait for treaties and carbon taxes and all sorts of strange things in the future. So my message was to the marchers, the so-called environmentalists, the meat-eating environmentalists, to let them know that there actually is no such species as that, So,
well, Bob, it's interesting, because that's actually what I wanted to talk about tonight, is this idea that a lot of animal people have, which they get from the environmental folks, the idea that species somehow has a moral significance, so that, the last member of a species or an endangered species somehow requires us to do something, because the members of an endangered species somehow have a higher moral value because there are fewer of them. And look, first of all, we've got to understand something. A lot of these campaigns to preserve endangered species, I mean, we're wiping out thousands of species every year. We focus on the species that we fetishize, the large cats, the elephants, some of the sea mammals and whatnot, because they're attractive to us and because we can fundraise off of them. But they are no less significant in terms of species biodiversity, or no more morally significant in terms of species biodiversity than all of the other species that are being wiped out that we don't fetishize and fundraise for, because they're not large cats, elephants, and sea mammals. And so, species are being wiped out at an alarming rate, and that's something that should concern us, because the environment, all sentient beings depend on the environment. I do not believe the environment per se has any moral value, in the sense that I don't believe that we can have moral obligations to bodies of water, because water is not sentient. We can have moral obligations to the fish that live in the bodies of water because they're sentient.
That's so funny you say that. It's funny you say that, because I often ask, like, environmentalists, well, what is the environment to you? Is it just rocks and sticks, or like where are the animals? Where is animal the habitat for animals?
Environmentalism is a movement that people can join without having it really affect too terribly much about their lives. I mean, because as you pointed out a few minutes ago, the number of environmentalists who are not vegans is just alarming beyond belief. And it's just shocking to me. And then when they say, I'm concerned about endangered species, and I say, what are you talking about? You're concerned about endangered species? Species are being wiped out every day. What are you talking about? Well, I'm concerned about the lions and the tigers and the elephants and the dolphins, etc. And I say, but if you're concerned about the environmental insults that are harming those animals and wiping out all of these other non-fetishized species, then you have no choice but to go vegan, because it's non-veganism that is wiping them all out. That, animal agriculture is responsible for more greenhouse gas than all of the petroleum that we burn for transportation. I mean, I'm not in favor of petroleum, obviously. I mean, I think that's another problem. But I also think that animal agriculture is a bigger problem.
Those same World Bank climate specialists tell us that animal agriculture is responsible for at least 51% of all human caused greenhouse gas emissions. So that's more than everything else combined, right?
Well, 51%. These environmentalists talk about petroleum as though it's evil, which it is. But you know what? Animal agriculture is a larger evil, a more significant evil. And as you pointed out in the beginning of your uh, of, of telling us about the climate conference or the climate event last week. That's something we can do something about. We're not going to be able to come up with an alternative energy source before 2020. Is that the date you gave?
That 2020. That's the date they gave us.
Yes. 6 years, Bob. We're up the creek.
A 50 to 85% shift. 50 to 85% shift from livestock products to vegan products by 2020. That's what the climate specialists at the World Bank tell us is the only solution. So, I mean, anybody listening now can become part of the solution today and, help us in the cause,
Yes, and you know what, Bob? Most people who are listening to us today are probably younger than either of us and have more of a stake in the future. I mean, things are going to get, obviously we can see the changes now already in terms of how climate change is affecting weather. But these things are not accidental. I mean, we can't really sort of say, well, this is just a blip on the screen. There are things happening very clearly connected to global warming, and so things are going to get they're not going to get better. They're going to get worse, and so it really is veganism is the only solution to the problem. But this idea that somehow I meet a lot of animal people who believe this too. As a matter of fact, I was dealing with some today who had written me some emails and some private messages on Facebook about, why don't I think that, the last elephant is worth more than a chicken? And I actually wrote an essay about this some time ago that, an elephant may weigh more than a chicken, but not as far as morality is concerned. And I believe that very sincerely. In the same way that I believe that, if you said, well, look, you've got this last member of a particular race, and you have another human being who is a member of a race that is not at the point of its last member. Does that mean that one matters more and is more morally worthy than the other? And yes, of course not. We would see that where humans are concerned. We might lament the fact that this race is no longer going. We may lament how it got to the point where this was the last member. We may lament all that, but that doesn't mean that remaining member matters more than another human being. Similarly, I don't think that a chicken is any less morally important than an elephant because the elephant is a member of an endangered species. And so I think we've got to get away from this because it's something that confuses a lot of environmentalists and gets them going in the wrong direction. But it's also something that gets a lot of animal people going in the wrong direction. Sort of gets them to support a lot of these idiotic environmental campaigns, which involve intervention. You have these let's manipulate the environment that we've screwed up. Let's manipulate the environment which we've misused to produce animal products. Let's manipulate it so that we can have more of these animals around. And the answer is no, we really shouldn't be doing that sort of thing. We should stop doing what's causing the decimation of the fetishized species and all the other species as well, and that is consuming animal food. That we ought to do. But that we can do. I mean, that's the thing that the thing that is so frustrating about this is this is the one thing that we can all do. It's really hard to influence government policy, particularly given the corruption of most governments. But I take that back. All governments, and particularly considering corruption, and considering the fact that corporations have their own agenda in terms of generating profits for their shareholders. The one thing all of us can do, we have the power to do it, and that is to stop consuming animal products. And we should not view our individual decisions as insignificant. Because, first of all, if you take that position, then morality is dead. Because if you say, well, I'm not going to do anything unless it's going to have an enormous impact, and the answer is, well, then I guess you don't do anything. Gandhi once said, the fact that you do something, you probably won't change the world, but what's really important is that you try and that you do something. And that's really what's important. And I think that's particularly clear here. If you go vegan, you actually reduce your carbon footprint more than if you were driving a Hummer and stopped. So, it's not an insignificant thing, but it's something that, you know, we all could do, and we have it within our power to do. We don't have to wait. You know, we don't have to have any expensive campaigns. We don't need any organizations to do it for us. We don't need any governments to do it for us. We don't need anyone to do it for us except our own decision. That's the only thing we need, is our own decision. Mm-hmm. And if we make that decision, then it can have profound consequences. And this is something we can do. So if you take all these people that, you know, that both of us hear endlessly every day, love animals and care about animals, if they all go vegan, then that would make a difference. And it's something they could all do. They just need to choose. They just need to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I had 400,000 people walk past me on 6th Avenue, you know, there could be 400,000 people who made the decision that day to stop being part of the number one environmental problem to be part of the solution. And it's something you can do today.
There's a certain craziness about the fact that there are 400,000 people going down 6th Avenue expressing their concern about the environment, who are, most of whom, probably overwhelming portion of the people, are not vegan. There is something bizarre about that.
Exactly. We'll continue. We have to take a break. We'll continue with Professor Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, Twitter at GoVeganRadio, and Facebook GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden. And I want to thank SentientLifestyle.com for support for the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming up at the Marina del Rey Marriott, March 20, 21, and 22 of 2015. You can register right now by going to WorldVeganSummit.com. And again, thanks SentientLifestyle.com, who has a banner ad at GoVeganRadio.com. And this event will feature presentations by Professor Gary Francione quite prominently. We've been talking about my trip to New York City to the Climate March. And yes, Professor Francione, the reason I felt I needed to go back to my little homeland city and get a new megaphone and talk to the passersby is that, well, the number one environmentalist, considered to be the number one environmentalist, Bill McKibben, eats meat. He believes in sustainable meat, and he says that the studies that I quote by the World Watch environmental specialists have been discredited, although he won't say by whom. And then the most progressive show in all media, Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, does a three-hour special on climate change and doesn't mention once the number one cause of climate change, animal agriculture. So I felt I needed to be there to talk to the 400,000 people passing by who think the answer is, you know, the Vatican has to divest from oil companies, or we need a carbon tax, when it's really we all have to go vegan.
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of these supposed social movements or these progressive movements really focus on nonsense. I'm sure that of those 600,000 people or 400,000?
I said about 400,000.
400,000, okay. Yeah. I knew there was a 6 in there, and it was 6th Avenue, so I wasn't sure if I was confusing the 4 and the 6. But 400,000 people, I bet you a lot of those people have, like, you know, hybrid cars and things like that. And, you know, they're all big on recycling and whatnot. But if they're consuming animal products, it's just a joke. And it's like, it's it's, again, you know, it's like the happy exploitation movement, Bob. It's let's do something which is meaningless so that we feel good about ourselves. There's something profoundly messed up about that. It's not, you know, I mean, we see it in the animal movement with all the animal advocates who promote welfare reform and happy exploitation. And then, you know, and I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it just makes no sense whatsoever. Similarly, if you're an ecologist or environmentalist and you're consuming animal products of any sort, meat, dairy, eggs, whatever, you know, you're just deeply, deeply confused. But look, I'm feeling somewhat optimistic. Last week, you know, while you were doing the climate march, I was speaking to the Rochester Area Vegan Society, which for years has been the Rochester Area Vegetarian Society, and they changed the name to the Vegan Society, which I really like. I mean, you know, there's a, you know, I'm tired of people feeling like veganism is a dirty word. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, it's not, and we ought not be afraid to use it. I can't stand veggie, V-E-G, asterisk, N. You know, I mean, there's a word, vegan, let's use the word. And so they call, you know, they changed their name to the Rochester Area Vegan Society, and we had a crowd there that they tell me was unprecedented in terms of the number of people who showed up. There were no more chairs in the facility that they were using. There were like three chairs left, and they were all broken, and people were standing and whatnot. And it was really interesting, and a lot of people are really turned on by veganism, and veganism as a moral principle, not veganism the way it's presented by groups like Mercy for Animals and the Humane Society. Well, the Humane Society isn't talk about veganism, but you know that these organizations, Compassion Over Killing, PETA, you know, all these organizations talk about veganism as a way of reducing suffering, and I was talking about it as a fundamental principle of justice, and it was really great that people were responding very well to that. My talk was called Crisis in the Vegan Movement. You know, we really need to figure out what does veganism mean and why is it important, and that's exactly what I'm going to be talking about this Saturday, October 4th, at the Animal Rights and Vegan Education Conference. Let me say that again, Animal Rights and Vegan Education Conference, which is going to be held at the Molloy College Suffolk Center in Farmingdale, Long Island. And I'm going to be there on Saturday and giving, I think my presentation is going to be like a couple of hours, and I'll take all sorts of questions and undoubtedly have people who will want to argue with me and try to convince me that I really do need to be supporting animal welfare reform, and I will be there to explain to them why that is a very, very bad idea.
Okay. We're out of time. We're out of time.
The music. All right, well.
Okay. We talk again next Sunday.
Next week, Bob. Next week.
Okay. All right. Thanks for listening. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden.